Renaissance Recall with Jim Miller is part of Grey Towers Productions.
Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Ha! You ring-tail sailors coming up behind! Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm! Now, me lad!
And welcome back to Renaissance Recall with our second part of Conversing with the Cook. And we'll be putting this up probably part A very shortly and then part B a little bit later on. But this is our free flow part of the conversation where we talk and joke around and have conversations about things we've seen or what we haven't seen. And we kind of go from there. So we're going to introduce ourselves again. I'm Jim Miller. I'm the host. My co-host for the second part will be Kristen Ehrlitz.
I'm here.
And our guest for today will be
Sue Tillman.
And we had a wonderful conversation about the kitchen and the uniqueness of it compared to...
I did think of a follow-up question, though, that I didn't get to ask earlier, but I want to ask.
Go ahead.
All right.
What's that?
Do you have a favorite dish that you cook both at fair and regular, normal, everyday life?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Well, I really have to think about that. Because I don't do much fair cooking at home. Because after eating it for 5 weeks...
You're sick of it.
I want a break from it. And then I put everything away, packed everything away, that I don't have the stuff out. But my friend Cindy, who is one of my sous chefs, she does the bread. Now, they've tried that a couple of times. I have to say I haven't. I should, though. If it was anything, it probably would be that.
Okay. Well, what about, so just normal food, not fair related, but do you have, like, a particular specialty in the kitchen? Like, do you favor Italian food or?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I got it in one. That's really the only kind of food that I know about. So that's...
I'm the one that goes for cooking on everything else.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the things that we have going on around the cooking area with the militia. You've been working with several of the people for many years. Like Norm and Meyer and
Aaron.
Evan. Like, we've watched Evan grow up. I mean, he just graduated high school this year.
Throws you for a loop, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's kind of one of the things where I talked to Natalie and she talks like a fun-loving adult now and I'm going...
Yeah, when you met her, she was a kid.
Yeah, she was a kid, yeah. And that throws you off a little bit, but it doesn't, it's a, wait, how old are you again?
Well, it's just like, you know, the Pantasis kids, I mean, when I met that family, you know, Kira was a baby being carried around, and their son wasn't even thought of yet, so, and now they're, you know, Kira's a young adult at this point, and so that kind of throws me off a little bit every time I think, you know, we're going to go to rehearsals and we're going to see Kira and little kid, and then I see her and not little kid anymore.
Well, that's like Tasia. Tasia's in college now. Tasia Lanehart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was young when we first started. She wasn't even in high school yet.
Mm. It's... we had... someone who just reminded me, we had a little squire named Thomas, and he was, couldn't have been more than like 4 or 5, but his outfit and my outfit when I was doing squiring at Maryland were the same. It was both like a white shirt and dark pants, and we had like the same color boots. It was by complete accident. And a friend of mine just called up and said, do you know that he's drinking now? I went, no, he should... Wait.
But is he doing it legally?
And I wasn't... He's drinking legally. Yes, he is. Whoa.
But, I mean, you know, he couldn't have been very useful at that age as a squire.
No,
when he started out.
He was amazing. He picked up the slack for so many people that were either overrun or had a particular knight that needed a lot of stuff done, or he was right there.
Well, when I first started in the kitchen, I had two boys. Sure. Now that I want to tell you their names, I can't.
That happens. We can call them Kid 1 and Kid 2.
Well, no, mm-hmm. One was Jennifer Krause's son, Tim.
There we go. Tim.
Okay. He's in the service now. He was 13 when he started working with me.
Wow.
They were fire boys. And the other one was, Jason Parker and...
Jenny's son. Oh, what is his name? Oh my God, I can't remember.
I don't think I remember because I don't think I got a chance to meet him.
It starts with a P, I think.
I'm gonna look it up.
Okay.
Because it's gonna bug all of us.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that for a little bit and see if we can remember exactly who that one was. Because when I joined up, I was at the bar at Virginia Fair.
Okay.
So anybody who was younger than 16, really, you know, I didn't get a chance to see much because...
Is it Philip?
Could be Philip.
I think you're right, but I'm double checking. Because now that I'm thinking about it, every name sounds like it's the right name.
Let's go through. You were there when they started up with the military demonstrations, the George and the Dragon. Wow, I mean,
you got to watch all that come into being and grow.
Yeah, I mean, the militia from where it was.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they were they doing. They were doing St. George and the Dragon, but they weren't doing the other show. That one was new when Ed was captain.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you the name of it. You know, when they come in... With Vadir.
Yeah, Vadir and... that's
storming
when...
Storming the Walls.
So, Storming the Walls, and then they also had... The one where he talks about the military history, the English versus the French. One where Aaron got his name, Reed Shirt, where he kept getting shot.
I thought that came with Storming of the Walls.
That's Storming of the Walls.
Is that Storming of the Walls now?
Yeah.
Because he used to... So it was a different incarnation before they built the walls. And now it's Storming of the Walls. But before that, it was them... going about the English versus the French, and the English knew about moisture and gunpowder, so they knew how to dry it out. But the French, who were showing up in England, didn't understand that, and all their black powder never worked.
Well, they may have talked about that a lot, but I don't think they did an actual show.
Yeah, and then we also have the musket demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for a while, and we now have the barber surgeon. He started off as like one table, now he's like two tables in his own tent, and you know, he's expanded. I mean, how does that make you feel about being there and seeing all these things kind of progress and move forward, or new things come on, new things go out? And
well, it just goes to show that we are an affair that can adapt and that we're growing. Because I remember this year we're getting 2,000 people a day, right?
That's about.
Yeah, on average. Yeah. And if you consider the fact that a lot of days this year it rained, so there were a few days that were less, but we had rain, so...
Yeah.
Yes, but I remember when 1,000 people a day was a lot.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those were our high marks, so now we're doubling that.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that this fair is remarkable.
She's beaming.
Well, and It's...
Well, and I always found that the more people that you have in the course of a day, the faster the day seems to go, but the more opportunities that you have to try new things and try different things. And, you know, even if you have... I'm pretty good at making jokes that no one gets or that I think are really funny but nobody else does. So the more people I have, the more likely someone is going to get it and laugh at it. And that gives me my little, yay, it worked, moment.
Well, I think that that's the progress in the kitchen is where, you know, instead of just feeding the men, you know, and trying to make different dishes and things like that, where I'm now more streamlined and I'm now more of a show than I am, you know, feeding the men. Yes, the bonus is the men get to eat.
Just walk up to the militia one day. The bonus is you get to eat. Oh, no, and I've been very impressed with all the shows. I mean, we have the future possibility of our own site.
Through
Phoenix Event Alliance.
Yeah, which is kind of progressing and moving forward. I'm going to say it's moving at a slow pace, but if you take a look at what the board of directors for that project are doing, they are hoofing it, and they are working to try to get something rolling. But to the outside world, it doesn't seem very fast or that hard-hitting, just because you don't see what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And what these, I mean, they're out walking properties all the time, putting miles and miles in their shoes, trying to find the right spot.
Yeah.
So.
And then that's something that's going to affect the kitchen in the future, which is going to be like a new location and possibility of other new stuff, new things.
Yes. Improved. Well, I will miss my oven, but hopefully the remake of my oven will be...
It should be bigger and better. Yes, that's
no,
the goal.
Not bigger.
Just better.
Just better.
Just better.
Smaller and better, okay?
I'm just cooking this loaf of bread. I don't need all this.
So I don't specifically know which particular person needs to hear that, but I hope you're listening.
Well, no, I this
well,
is
you
know, a...
I've learned a lot over the course of having this oven. You know, where you should start the fire small and low and not keep it up. You need a dedicated person just for the oven, you know, so because you don't want your top cement, I don't know, you don't want the top of your oven to crumble, which ours is done.
Oh, gosh.
You need, I think, a little bit more sand between the bricks so that you don't catch the wooden beams on fire, which we've done.
Well, and all things that would come into being, all things that, you know, anybody else who was building an oven from scratch would have to take into account, like one, you know, oh, our oven burned down. We're going to have to build another oven.
I would love one. All right.
And, it caught high on this end, but let's see what happens here. Maybe we should make it shorter. Maybe we should make it wider. These are all things that we're writing down, just like the same people at the same time back then were taking into account too, because they had to build it, hope it was right, something may go right or something may go wrong, and then go from there. Do you have
Yeah, I already had some.
Oh, okay.
So the food of choice at this particular podcast today is pizza. And it's from a local place, so we'll give a shout out to Sam's down in Locust Grove.
Who just started delivering to us.
Yes! In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere.
There's a place that delivers. And so that is the extent of my cooking ability, is calling Sam's. So big shout out to them for... And so we'll call them today's sponsors. That's the food. Apparently,
they just
have a food themed sponsor.
They just randomly start, like. Oh my gosh.
Well, so there was one podcast where, you know, we all were eating out of a big vat of cookie dough.
Cookie dough.
And it happened to be Nestle, so that one was sponsored by Nestle. And another one. We had...
Mm.
I can't remember what else. It's the cookie dough that sticks out in my mind.
Evan just turned around and was like, we're looking for sponsorships. And Evan was going, okay. And then everything that we brought up was a sponsorship. He would suddenly just turn around and go, and we're sponsored today by...
Yes.
We're going, Evan...
At the end of every statement. We talked about Braxton's statement. Candy preferences, and so we got a few shout-outs there for whatever kind of candy Braxton had in his pocket.
At that moment. Oh... But yeah, that's, we're at a point with the fair, and I was thinking about this, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the podcast was I want to introduce to the people who come, the people that are behind the characters. So introducing them to Braxton and Bobby, that was a crazy podcast.
That was a very long podcast.
And watching Bobby... Just that man is amazing with just... I'm just going to write a poem right here, right now. I'm going to take my poetry and I'm going to create a poem for this gentleman or to his lady or about this child. And seeing one of the other things that we have in our souvenir shop, which is Riddles Rhymes.
Oh, which we found in a shop in downtown Culpeper last weekend. Mm-hmm. I think we were down there doing some shopping. We had to go by Taste and pick up some oil.
Yes.
And so while we were down there, we're kind of poking in and out of some of the other shops. And in the toy store in downtown Culpeper was a little counter setup of Bobby's Riddle Rhymes card packs. Which I took a photo of and then promptly forgot to post to Facebook, so I'll get on that. But we were, like, enamored that we found his cards in one of our local spots. And we got super, super excited about it, and we were talking to the owner of the store for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't buy anything and we left. So, well, I mean, it was a kid's toy store, and we were three adults.
Shout out to Lollipop. Station. Yep. In downtown Culpeper.
Lollipop Station off has Davis those Street. Cards. And it was a very fun store to be in.
We got to see a whole bunch, but none of the candy was something I wanted to have. I wanted to be able to take home, and we were headed out to another event right after that.
We were looking for candy to sneak into a movie theater. What? Like, we're the only people that do that. All right, quick show of hands. How many people sneak their own snacks into the movie theater? All right, all of us do it.
Anyway, there went our moral high ground.
We never had a moral high ground.
We had a moral high ground.
So I'm going to spin us back around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get out of the kitchen much or at all, but I know that some of the characters from Fair do come visit you in the kitchen. So you get some interaction there. And what do they... Do they just come in and borrow the shade for a little while? Do they tell you what's going on with their day? Or what's the dynamic like?
No, but they might borrow my shade. They might get a drink. Lady Lincoln was famous when she was there for coming over and making sure that she said hi and just checking on the, you know, I don't know how the farts were today.
I miss Lady Lincoln very much so.
Ditto.
Yes.
Mm. So what there is one thing that people will hear coming out of the kitchen. Where was the origin of everybody drink?
Okay. Early on, when I was alone and doing things by myself,
mm-hmm.
I did not drink. And one year...
Water.
I
Let's specify water.
1 year I crashed, and I crashed really, really hard. So, the thing is, if I'm thirsty, everybody else is thirsty. If somebody else in the kitchen is thirsty, everybody's thirsty. So it just became a thing, 1, 2, 3, everybody drink. This way, nobody goes down, mm-hmm. and we're all safe.
So it's a way for looking out for each other, but it's also fun. And you can hear it halfway across the fair. So believe it or not, that affects way more people than just the kitchen and just the militia. Because if we can hear you and we're in the middle of the field, we do it too.
Oh, good.
So, yes.
My favorite was I didn't know what it was. And someone was talking to me and suddenly I hear this. 1, 2, 3, everybody drink! And I turn around and goes... and I sat back down. I was like, what's that about? I was going...
Just a thing.
Woman's council meeting? I'm not sure.
You know, you know where the kitchen is.
Mm-hmm.
And the first aid tent on the lower hill.
They call it downtown.
Yes. If they don't hear that enough, they come to the kitchen and make sure that we drink.
So now we know how it got loud enough for the field to hear it.
That's awesome. Oh, because I mean, we're like, the cast is constantly trying to make sure everybody's like drinking. So
dehydrated.
So people that have already been drinking will suddenly show up with a pitcher randomly and just turns like, here. And I incorporated my adjustment by, you've seen the new mug that I have.
I have.
That's like 40...
40 some odd ounces.
40 some odd ounces. And I can fill half of that, and that's like 3 drinks for me. If I fill it all the way up, it's I'm good for a couple hours.
Okay. I've got a nice little route set up in my spare time when I'm just sort of wandering about the village and doing some one-on-one patron interacting. Between the two medical tents and Noble's, there's like a little figure eight pattern that I have set up for myself. And by the time I get to one of those three locations, my mug should be empty if I've been drinking enough. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect timing. And I can refill it at one of those spots and then continue. And by the time I get to the next spot, it should be empty again. Right. And so on especially hot days, sometimes I have to change the pattern up, or I'll have to swing into militia and grab an extra drink or something like that. And on cool rainy days, the mug never empties because the rain just keeps filling it in. But for the most part, the system works.
That's something which we could use on the top of the hill at the entrance. A well.
Well, they actually did put a couple pitchers of water this year for the cast members in the
souvenir
shop. And that was amazing because there's several... Well, we had a fight call up there for scripted. And mm-hmm. so being able to grab water before and after fight call was absolutely amazing.
And before my fight call, I was up at the front gate greeting people for at least two hours, three hours plus.
Anybody who was up at the front gate entertaining had an option for water up there, too, because the medical tents, even though they're visible from that location, you'd be amazed how far away they are.
Especially when you turn around and you finally tip up your mug and you're going... I just drank several cups of something and I'm still thirsty. I think I better go visit the medical tent. Medical tent has set up liquids for the cast only.
Yes.
And
sorry,
themselves.
Patrons, you have to go buy bottled water from a vendor.
But actually, that's something that was one of the surprising things was the 1, 2, 3, everybody drink. Mistress Tilly has caught us coming down the hill several times.
Hilly.
Yes. You just called her Tilly.
Maybe I'm stuck on tilt. Mistress Hilly. It should be a lot easier to remember because you're right at the bottom of the hill.
She's actually on a hill. Her mm-hmm. whole kitchen is slightly downhill.
Which is funny, because when she steps backwards, sometimes she gets taller. And then sometimes when she steps left or right, she'll get shorter and taller, depending on which direction. Oh my gosh. So, have you had any really interesting questions, or have you met any people that were very interesting that just kind of... flick of memory, like patron wise?
Dave Kula.
Dave Kula. That was right off the hip.
Yes. He has come to my show, I can't tell you how many times.
Mm.
And he bought my cookbook. Do you know, I have to tell you something. This year, I was asked for my autograph. So I went up and bought my cookbook, came back down, and asked me to sign it for them.
So did you sign it as Sue or as Mistress Hilly?
Mistress Hilly.
Lovely.
That does throw me off when somebody turns around and asks me to sign something. I was confused. We had a staff that broke. We were doing the fight, and a chunk of the staff broke off in the middle of the fight.
Really?
And it went out into the audience. Well, it didn't get anybody, but we're like, whew, you know, it's that's that moment where you're sitting there like, your heart's beating, and the person picked it up and went, can I keep this? I was going, well, it's the staff's broken now. We have to kind of throw it away. So yeah, sure. Can I get you to sign it? And I was going, and it clicked in my head where I'm going, do I sign it as me? Do I sign it as my character?
As your character.
And
was this in Virginia?
Yeah, it was in Virginia when we were doing the practice with the stick during our fight several years ago. Well, before we go to the swords.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the...
I remember the fight, but I don't remember the staff breaking.
Yeah, we just had a stick that we would start part of the fight with, mm-hmm. and then we would move on to the swords. And you'd hit the stick, and I didn't think about it. The stick broke and went out. I'm going, I mean staves, not staff. Not.
Oh, I was thinking like polearm or, yeah. You know, something like
no,
that.
No, it was like it was a short stick.
Remember a time when something like that would have... I can't even imagine that we would use something that would be close to breaking. Although Stranger Things
has happened.
But, you know, stuff happens. But
that was the one I brought over to you that we had to sign... we were at... Oh, shoot. Who was I playing?
I think that was the year that you were playing John, and I was playing Liza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Captain... Oh, his
I
name
really
is...
Hate,
what's that?
I have to tell you, I really hate when people change their character. I mean, I know that they get tired and want to change up or down. But you just learned... their name.
Yes. Now, granted, I've changed character a lot, but I completely agree. If someone has a new name or a new occupation, I cannot remember it for the life of me. Unless they've really gone above and beyond in their costuming, and I can tell from a distance that they're not the same person. But if it's similar or they haven't changed costuming for the new character, I get lost.
Yes.
Well, I can actually tell when I've met people by what character they think I am.
There you go, yeah.
Because there was a time where, like, I always turn around and say, I'm trying to be the director's Swiss Army knife. If he needs me to play a specific part or something like that, mm-hmm. I do my best to try to fit that character and one of my personalities into the character.
One
of my personalities. No, yes, no, yes.
What's my, like, this year when I played Izzy, a whole new garb. Everything mm-hmm. was completely different to try to make it easier. Well, it's easier for me, too, that way, because it is a whole new persona.
Mm-hmm.
But
being back and forth between... this year was Captain Tyrannus, and the year before that it was Sir Thomas, mm-hmm. and then before that it was... Tyrannus again. Tyrannus is one of the few ones I've done twice.
He's recurred a couple of times. I'm going back to the Keeper of the Keys next year, and I think I'd like to keep her out for a little while, maybe a few years.
But,
I miss her.
Sir Thomas, Ignatius, just because every year I'd just be like,
and
okay,
Bruno. You were Bruno 1 year.
It's like, which character do you want? Which character do you need? And they're like, okay, we need this. It's okay, here's... Let's make a character. So a lot of times I don't get a choice. if they don't need me for scripted, I'll go back to an old character. And if there's too many, I'll normally play a either a ground soldier or a something along those lines, so that they have more military and militia. Or this year I was off and on as Her Majesty's protection when we didn't have
we were down a couple of
yeomen,
so you were
walking around with a giant Alec axe. What else? I understand that completely, because there are some characters where I turn around and go, oh, you're so-and-so, and they look at me and go, no, I'm so-and-so now.
Yes.
But you look the same!
But you look the same.
So, favorite prop.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite prop?
My favorite prop?
Yeah.
We should add that to the other questions.
That's a good one. I just thought of it. Because I'm sitting here playing with a spoon. And I was like, hey, this is fun. I can balance it on my nose.
I don't know. Because I have a kitchen full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a certain knife. That's my knife. You know, there's what, three knives in the thing. But no, this one is my knife. I have, I don't know, like half a dozen cutting boards. But this one is my cutting board. So I don't think I have a favorite prop.
Mm. Well, and you're kind of creating props as you go too, because your food is also a prop. You walk by and see a militiaman eating lunch, and all of a sudden that's a thing people will watch.
They do. They sit there and they watch me make the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
They make us, you know, watch the farts with the cheese. Then, of course, when I have my tables all lined up with their lunch before I ring that bell,
mm-hmm.
They're, oh, can I buy that? How much is that?
Nope.
And I have to say, oh, I'm sorry, that's not for sale.
Yes.
Especially get that at 3 o'clock when I'm doing the watermelon.
Yep.
Yep.
And 3 o'clock's that time of day when everyone's looking for a snack.
Yes.
Yep.
Or you could turn around the next time they ask, be like, oh, are you a member of Her Majesty's militia? Let me see your paper. Just
give them an outrageous number, just this crazy 5 gold pieces.
You know, I was fortunate that this year I do believe that there was somebody selling watermelon over by the Barleycorn Tavern, so I was sending them
over there
to the vendors.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like one of the vendors asked for my recipe for farts,
mm-hmm.
and so I know that there's a fart salesman.
Mm-hmm. And they're delicious.
On the other side of the tent. Now, I think he makes his with beef instead of lamb,
mm-hmm.
but even so, they're still tasty, I'm told.
They are. They are delicious. But I did learn the hard way, don't put them in a metal mug, because they are hot. And then your entire metal mug
is
hot.
If the primary food for our fair is farts, then I understand why this entire section is called the Tudor Rain.
Oh! That's bad. That's
sorry.
A no.
I couldn't help it.
That is bad.
That's bad. Oh,
so,
my
I know
gosh.
This past season, one of my favorite props this past season was my character almost always had a piece of grass or something that she was chewing on. And so I had a lot of fun early in the season, we had some very, very high pasture grass out on the farm. So I cut a couple pieces of that and I hid it around fair site. So every time I would get up to one of those points, there was a bunch of it by the maypole. By the way, nobody noticed. Ha! Went all season, nobody noticed the bunch of big, long fescue grass that was hiding out by the maypole. So every time I walked by the maypole, I would grab this massive, I mean, we're talking, this thing was 3 foot long, and start chewing on it. And it would last almost all day, but it would get shorter and shorter and shorter throughout the course of the day. We had a lot of black-eyed Susans popping up around fair this year, so I'd occasionally grab a black-eyed Susan and chew on that for a little while. You can't chew on them very long, though. They get really gross really fast.
Really fast.
And stuff like that. And so just whatever kind of plant life I could find. And on one particular day, I found this really nice stick. And so I just chewed on the stick. I took the bark off of the outer edge. It was already down. I found it laying in the pathway, and it was already detached from a tree. So I didn't kill anything. But, yeah, I took the outer layer of bark off and started chewing on it. And it actually, so little historical fact, a little bit before this time, I think, but people would fray the ends of sticks and use them to clean their teeth if they were going to clean their teeth. And so I kind of did that, but it was obnoxiously large. So but that was fun to play with this past year.
I think my favorite prop this year would have to be the loquet burbardiche.
You had some fun with that.
I had some real fun with that. At one point, we were walking around with Her Majesty, and a group of guys started coming up the road, like running. And Her Majesty was coming downhill, and they looked like they were going to try to weave in between. And so I step in front of Stacy, and I just turn the axe sideways. It's about 5.5 foot long. And I turned it sideways, and all of a sudden I reached for my sword across, and my sword's tied knot. So I went and I looked like I was about to pull it, and all of them stopped. One guy came up short, and his foot slipped. He got about 6 to 8 inches away from the blade, and suddenly I tilted it up, and the sun just went right into his face. And he's like, like his eyes got really big really quick, and they all stopped, and Her Majesty and Stacy, like, without thinking, goes, "Oh, thank you for stopping." And like, just, "It's good to see you." And she just did Her Majesty all the way through. And so I kind of weaved through it. I'm just sitting there, and I'm just kind of cracking. I was like, there's nothing that faces that woman. Like,
no.
I literally could have beheaded a tree right in front of her, and she would right on through. But it's Stacy, and we see her do that all the time.
I like when you took it into court of common pleas.
Oh,
stand up behind the defendants and start sharpening it.
there was somebody who, I think it was one of the old younger lady members of cast, had a new boyfriend come in. And we had met the new boyfriend, and if you've never been a part of a reenactor family,
new boyfriends are fun.
New significant others to well-known
cast members
are a side hobby of some of the more interesting members of our cast. And at one point, he was defending himself. And he mentioned something about the admiral's daughter, and the admiral was up as the other side. And I was behind him, and I made the gentleman very nervous, because I had taken a stone from the ground, and I was running it up and down the blade of that very long axe. And everybody was hearing it, and he would actually stumble over a word when it hit that high point at the end. He was like, "No, I really like your daughter."
That was fun.
One of the nobles decided he was going to run into Her Majesty's presence with the sword to see what I would do, and it's like, I wasn't even thinking about it, because I'd done bouncing and bodyguarding in the past. And as soon as somebody started coming with a weapon into the area, suddenly it was like the axe was up and I was up in front of them. And they were like, "Oh, it's a gift for Her Majesty." Mm-mm. We had that long conversation. I'm really hoping we have some more yeomen next year, because they were... our yeomen from the past who get to visit us every once in a while are always very, very good. Our yeomen were missed this year.
Yes, they were.
Mm.
I really miss, especially Rob, where he goes all day, every day, as still and as stoic. You almost don't notice him until there's that moment where he will either he'll either say something that is so straight-laced it's hilarious, or somebody will do something stupid in front of the queen, and he will just step out in front, and he's probably one of the most intimidating yeomen, at least that we've had in a while. And so he just steps out, and nothing changes about him other than his physical position. But it's scary as all get out. But my favorite is when he'll just say something, and it's just as flat-lined and as stoic as you can possibly get, and because of that fact, it is so hilarious. And even when the crowd loses it, he will not. He just stays the straight man.
And then when he gets in the back, he's just
so funny.
When he gets in the back, he's just trying to hold it together because he's trying to laugh it so hard.
Yep.
Oh.
But, like, there was a time, it was, I believe it was a couple years ago, there was something going on, and one of the nobles was trying to impress Her Majesty, and he was doing all this crazy stuff, and it was really funny, very physical actor moment. In fact, I want to say it was probably Tony doing his dance bit, if I remember correctly, but
he was
leaping and dancing in front of the queen, and he looked over and he's like, "Yeah, what do you think?" And Rob was just like, you know, as straight-faced as straight could be, and just goes, "No." And the whole crowd lost it, because it's not, I mean, you're expecting some big grandiose speech out of him, or, you know, to haul Tony off stage or what have you, but no, he's just, no.
Well, we have, you said you had gone to the Court of Love.
Yes.
With the frying pan.
With a frying pan.
Saucepan.
So yeah. how did that work out?
Oh my gosh, that was a few years ago. I blamed my husband's head for breaking my pot.
Did you win?
Yes, he had to pay me for my pot.
No farts for him.
You know, his head was so thick and so hard. He was so hard-headed he broke my pot.
These things, they happen.
Yes.
It's not easy to break those either. We're not talking about like a little aluminum pan.
And I was at Court of Love when my son proposed to his girlfriend?
Yes.
Yes.
So that was good. And I got out of my kitchen for the hand fasting. You know, we've had some pretty remarkable romantic moments at fair.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, and like you said, they do host the occasional wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that, but quite a few hand fastings have happened.
Bachelorette parties.
And bachelor parties. They come through pretty frequently. They're not so much romantic as fun. And a lot of, we've had a lot of proposals at fair. A lot of proposals at fair. And some of them have been cast members, and some of them have been patrons. So I think one of my favorite ones is Cheryl, when she got engaged at fair, she actually asked beforehand if this was a bit or if it was real. So, and as someone who had previously been on cast, valid question.
Yes.
You know. But, yeah, that was, and everybody that was there totally understood where she was coming from when she asked that.
I think my favorite elder romantic moments, would have to be when everybody thinks two characters should really be together, and then they end up being divorced at fair.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the baker married the bailiff, and then they divorced.
They didn't get divorced, because you couldn't actually divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a thing. But we had a patron who was visiting one day, and he was playing death. And so he literally got between them and whisked the baker away, and so it was till death did they part.
Oh,
so, And the best part about that, it was not entirely planned. So we knew that, that death was going to be there, or that was there that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started the court case, but death came in about halfway through and was just like, I got this. and took the baker away. So that was, they were parted by death.
Just the ludicrous nature of something that today we consider very, very a part of our culture that you have to work around during Elizabeth's reign is just so funny. Because
mm-hmm.
you cannot do divorce, okay? Even though her father was the ultimate divorcer.
Right.
Only in the eyes of the religion that he created. The Catholic Church never recognized it.
True.
Ooh. Sorry.
Mm.
You falling asleep on us there, host?
No, I had a very energetic morning and a very energetic day yesterday, and I always get a little sleepy when it's raining, and it's been raining for
2 days.
2 days now.
And it's supposed to rain for the next 7 days.
The next seven.
Again.
I'm going to be so asleep. I'm just going to fall on my CNC machine at work and just drill me.
That does not sound right.
Never does. Oh.
So, outside of fair, we talked about you still love to cook when you're at home.
Yes.
But we also found out that you enjoy gaming as well.
Which got me excited.
She's smiling. Yes, yeah, so you have a favorite or whatever happens to be going on at the time or...
Well, we play Maneuver almost every night. Maneuver is a card game. It's rummy with a twist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I hang out with my son and his fiance, we play a Ticket to Ride or Tesoro or Alhambra. I'll just
love a Ticket to Ride.
I guess you. That's one of my favorites.
Pandemic is another one.
Mm.
That one's good.
Pandemic is very good.
I'm trying to think. So we play those type of board games. And back in my youth, when I was younger, we played a lot of D&D.
Okay.
Mm.
Got some tabletop going on. Do you guys play Catan?
I think I've heard of that.
I say, if you like Ticket to Ride, you will probably love Catan.
Settlers of Catan.
Yep. It's not Catan, it's Catan.
Mm.
Does anybody really know?
You Catant?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh.
So, yeah, give it a shot. It's Settlers of Catan, Casantin. And so they have the original game, which is a lot of fun. And then, of course, they have all these expansions and variations. I think they have one for Greece and one for... they have a Star Wars version now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of cool variations.
And, of course, you know, we started playing Pacino once a month. And we played bingo and...
Pacino?
Yes.
Well, yeah, what is Pacino?
Okay, you get a card, and on the card are a bunch of, like, poker cards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a deck, and so you flip card over, and you call that card, and, you know, it's like bingo.
For cards?
With poker.
Huh.
Pacino.
So if you can fill your hands before the other players, then you've got Pacino?
Well, it's a board like bingo,
mm-hmm.
okay, and a deck of cards. And you flip over the deck and you call, okay, Ace of Spades. So if you've got the Ace of Spades, you put your little chip on the Ace of Spades.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can get postage stamp, four corners, four of a kind. Pacino is, you know, like a bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get coverall.
That's pretty cool.
Huh.
I like it. Yeah. Definitely. See, one of my favorites, I'm very much into the classics. And one of my favorites is Monopoly.
Oh, I love Monopoly.
But we're no longer allowed to play Monopoly as a family household.
Why?
Nobody will trade with me. I try to make very, very fair trades.
They're not fair.
They are fair.
She'll wait till you're completely down on your luck and go, I can give you $50 for that $450 property.
Well, okay, that's just being opportunistic. But it's also, so if we play with our roommate, he's a very firm believer in you never trade to give somebody a monopoly. So if he's got one card from a set,
yes,
you're never getting it. It's not going to happen. He will hold out because he will not risk you being able to then trade with the other person who's got the third one and getting that. So it's really, really difficult to do any kind of property trades at all with him. He's very much, you get a monopoly if you happen to land on all of the spaces. That's how that works.
Okay.
And then I'm very, you're getting the eyeballs of wanting.
Yes,
and
I got kisses.
Oh!
And you're also a video gamer. You do, you said Civilization VI now?
I do. I play Civilization VI, and I play, I can't help it, I play Happy Acres on Farmville. Or not on Farmville, but on Facebook.
On Facebook?
No, I can understand. There's some Facebook games that are very addictive. I tried a couple of them, and I was like, I'll go back to Steam.
Yes. I have most definitely fallen victim to Candy Crush and Bubble Witch Saga. That was ate up a lot of my data for a good number of months.
Well, I was there in the Candy Crush until I got to a level that I just couldn't beat, and I said, "All right, I'll just give it some time."
Mm-hmm.
Well, the time has
passed. Oh my gosh.
And I am a very avid solitaire-er.
Solitaire-er?
Solitaire-er. I have a daily solitaire on my phone that every morning pops up with, here's your daily solitaire challenge. And if I can't solve it, I get really aggravated for the whole day.
Well, on my phone, attest. I play dice with buddies. Mm-hmm. It's like Yahtzee.
Okay.
And I play, oh my gosh, what is that other game I play? Shoot, now I'm going to have to go look it up.
Here, let me have your... There we go. Are you done?
Yes, thank you.
My favorite part would have to be a friend of mine who turned around and we found out that people in our shop were all playing Scrabble together.
Yes.
And I was leaning over and giving one person an unfair advantage. And they looked at me and they're like, I have all these R's and this E and this is like... serrated, bottom of the thing right there. What? It's like, look up the spelling for serrated. It works! And I found out he was playing somebody in the shop. They were playing during their breaks, and I'm going, no, can't do that. So I started helping the other gentleman too for a couple.
Yeah.
But so, who are you playing on Civ right now? Your leader.
I don't know. I think I'm the Roman Empire.
Ah, Caesar.
Caesar. I have returned.
You have returned.
You have returned.
I have returned.
Okay.
I'm back in the room.
I'm checking my phone to see. Oh, Empires and Puzzles.
There you go.
That's what I'm playing.
I recently found one on my phone. I introduced Jim to it, and he got a little addicted for a little while, but it's called Flow Free. And basically, it's like you're supposed to be a plumber laying down the plumbing lines, but it's
yes.
these little colored dots, and you have to connect the colored dots to each other, but there's only one within the grid, but there's only one particular way that you can do it. And so you're constantly like... rearranging and changing to try to fit everything into the grid. So I like puzzle games like that.
Mm.
But yeah, he played around with it for a little bit.
Yeah, and then I there's one game called Axiom, which is they give you no directions. You have to figure the game out one step at a time, and each game is different.
Okay.
So it was introduced to me by friends while we were going to a concert, and I'm going. started playing it, and I got absorbed in it enough. I was like, no, I better put this down, or I'm not going to pay attention to the concert.
Yeah, we're all at a concert, and they're all playing Axiom on their phone.
Okay.
So.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I've lost the game.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Oh, she brought it out of the dredges of darkness.
All right, so what's the reference?
It's a convention pop culture reference, and if you talk about the game, you lost the game.
Yes.
Oh.
And once you know about the game, you're playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I have a visitor.
The cat that must...
And what's this one's name?
This is Bugsy, and I'm actually really surprised that she's out here because she's usually incredibly shy. And she's, like, semi-feral-ish. So she's decided to come explore. I'm honored. Or I was. She's gone now.
She's gone now.
Because she noticed I spotted her. She jumped in my lap and then was like,
So, but I think we've come to a really good point.
Yeah.
And we got to talk and meet Sue, our excellent cook at Fair, and got to know a little bit more about her and everything that's involved with the kitchen and all the things that she got to do. So I think we did a really good job today. I think we really introduced you to anybody who wants to listen and learn more about our fair.
Well, it was my pleasure to come out and talk and share my knowledge.
And if people are interested in more about the kitchen, we send them to you. Do you have anything that, like, connected you want to do on, like, social media or anything like that? Or okay. So if they want to get a hold of you through the fair thing, it's through the fair.
Yes.
Yep.
Sounds good.
They can come to Virginia Fair and visit Mistress Hilly in the kitchen. In the militia.
In the kitchen. Say hi.
You just walk straight down the path. Do you know how many people I've given tickets to, season's passes, and they said, oh, we couldn't find you. I'm like, how can you not find me? You can't just walk straight down the hill. I'm on the right. I got this big, huge oven sitting in the middle of a field.
Follow the smell of your nose. This is not that hard.
It's like Toucan Sam. You just follow your nose.
Follow your nose. Stay away. Okay. If you smell sweaty men with weaponry and food, you're in the right direction.
You know? Oh. Smoke.
I saw
the smoke circles, you know?
Well, and on top of
How are you?
On top of that, she's Caddy Corner from the blacksmith, who will also send smoke signals. They're on the same lane.
Well, that's just it. They've seen the blacksmith, but they didn't see me. And I'm like, how can you not see me?
Two different smokes, two different signals.
Oh, okay. Is that the problem?
All right. Well, so on behalf of Kristen Erlitz, Mistress Hilly, and myself, Jim Miller, thank you for listening to the second part of our conversing with the cook, and come back to us again at Renaissance Recall. We hope to see you in the past. Come out and play with us and have some fun. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! All your ringtail sailors coming out behind. Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, all your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Heartland Point's coming up in sight, on the port bow, sitting Lundy's light. We'll be stroking up some fires tonight. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, all your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Pilot cutters come.
coming up ahead. There'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread. Tonight we'll sleep in your feather bed.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Ha!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Your ring-tail sailors coming up behind.
Ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree,
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So, Jimmy, your tailpiece warm.
Ho!
Jamboree!
Ho!
Jamboree!
Ho!
Your ringtail sailors coming up behind.
Ho!
Jamboree!
Ho!
Jamboree! Jimmy, keep your tailpiece warm.
Several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree,
ho!
Your ringtail sailors coming up behind.
Ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Look at me, man!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree,
hi,
a ringtail sailors coming out behind.
Ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree,
hi,
a ringtail sailors coming out behind.
Ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Of course!
Hey!